Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is How to Murder Time, a podcast about games and things.
Hello everybody.
Watcher.
We're back.
It's a week. And we're in a funny old mood.
We are in a very funny old mood.
We've been to the pub first and then doing the podcast, which generally ends in mirth and hilarity.
Yeah.
You've had quite a lot to drink and I've had way more coffee than is normal for a human mind.
I was going to open that up as a competition to see if the listener could work out which one of us drinks and which one doesn't.
Yeah, God, yeah. And it's a ranty topic show, isn't it? That we sort of half-assedly concocted just now.
It's a so ranty topic show. It's basically all that pent-up anger.
We've formulated it now, yes, but this has been growing on me all week and generally for quite some time.
I think it's been for years now.
Yeah, I've written the topic on the old whiteboard there, the Steam sale, which I think is more of a catalyst than a cause, to be honest, but it got me thinking, and it got me thinking about all sorts of things, and usually the Steam sale is a cause for bacchanalian excess when it comes to game buying and overindulgence of consumerism. And it's that time of year that we all wait for from the rest of the year to go in and buy all our stuff that we've wanted and is on the wish lists.
Which we will never play.
Yes, which we then don't play. Because it's all too good a deal to miss, so we have to buy everything.
I got the Velvet Assassin for 39p.
How did you do in the end? Just as a sort of context. How many things did you buy this time around?
I think I bought about 7 or so.
I got away with 5, I think, and one of them was a gift from a listener who I've already thanked, but I shall thank you again. But yes, I don't have time to play any of these things. I didn't need any of them. I had quite an ongoing list of games I already had that I was involved with and I was playing, and I just, and even me, you know, who's usually the one that gets all conservative and Puritan about spending money and 3 month rules I've already got a game this year, I should probably make do and finish that. Even I managed to come away with 5 things there, so not going to bother talking about the specific titles. This isn't really a what we're playing show, but it got to pretty much everyone that we know gaming wise on Twitter and friends chatting on Mumble and stuff. Pretty much everyone got fleeced for a certain amount because of varying levels of self-control and willpower. But then why not? It's stupid to buy games any other time of year from any other outlet. That's the way these Steam things work. I've written a big old list of ranting on that whiteboard. Shall we go through some other points?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay. Do feel you can stop at any time, dear listener, but we're going to rant for about an hour, so, you know, good luck keeping up. So I've written stupid badges there. What the hell was all this summer adventure stuff? I remember them doing something broadly similar for the winter thing and last year's summer as well, but this time it was some big competition with four arbitrary teams who I didn't quite understand what was going on, and sometimes one team got precisely 8 times the voting of all 3 the other teams who all got the same number. What was that?
There's 2 things about the badges.
Yeah.
The first is they introduced a mechanism which was so gameable that NeoGAF managed to strangely start predicting who was going to win. I don't know how that happened.
Oh, it's just weird. You sort of scroll down, you see your daily deals, and here's all the stuff you should buy now, and then underneath a whole bunch of, like, 4 coloured teams. I didn't even know what team I was in. I don't think I even got any of these badges, because apparently you have to be Steam level 8 or something to qualify for them.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm only Steam level 6 or something, because
I'm
a disloyal and ineffective consumer.
I got the badge because it put up a pop-up saying, you qualify for this badge now. Okay, click badge. And then I don't want to call him out, but Zozo God is my
no names, but yeah,
managed to get a trade request to me, which if I click on Steam now, it's still sitting there on the goddamn list and I can't get rid of it.
And is
pending
that
trade offer for a thing which is no longer there, because
it's all expired because of the end of it or something. Oh, I don't know.
So I'm never getting rid of that.
So what, you message. Buy enough stuff and you get given little badge things.
For every $10 you spend, you get given
an imaginary virtual item
card
of no value.
Or you can pay 6p or whatever they were at the time and get them.
So you can sell them for real money to other Steam users.
Well, I say real money. You can sell them for the sort of money you forget about after you bought other stuff.
Yeah, but real money in the sense that it's legal tender in the United Kingdom, but not real in the sense that you probably find more down the back of the sofa if you have a good old rummage. Yeah, so you craft these badges together that turn into something else, and then there's this thing on your profile, and I'm a big gullible consumer mark appears on your profile. I don't know.
Stupid, idiotic Steam level system.
It's such basic and crude and rudimentary gamer psychology, isn't it? That they're just applying to purchasing.
I will pay money. I will get a higher level, so I should pay more than money.
Let's invent a bunch of arbitrary XP bars and levels, and that will goad our hapless, witless victims into giving us loads more money. I don't know.
And we all do it.
I don't. I honestly don't give a toss what's in that inventory tab, to be honest. Apparently, I'm Steam level 6. I have no idea what that means in any real context or how to go about advancing it or what happens if it gets bigger. So, you know. And sometimes when I play games that I've bought off of Steam, it tells me there's a thing in a side tab with some stuff.
Oh, God,
I have actually sold some of these for a pitiful amount of pounds and pence and then ended up buying a very, very, very cheap game with it once, which I suppose is a kind of moral victory.
I just despise... One of the biggest problems I have with Steam at the moment is it really does offend my sensibilities about the fact that when I buy a new game and play it for a while, when I finish playing, there's a, you've got 2, 3, 4
we've arbitrarily
items.
Decided to give you some little pictures in this tab, and you can sell some of those.
Just go screw yourself, because if Microsoft tried to do this, you would be absolutely killing them over it.
Oh, yeah.
Or if Sony tried to do this, you'd be killing them over it, but no, it's
but Steam says so all right. Yeah, I've written progress bars of spending there. I mean, the idea that, I can't remember who it was, I think it might have been one of the friends I follow, I forget the name, but they were saying how the Steam sale itself was now a more compelling game than many of the things that were actually on sale.
There's
progress bars,
there's
levels, there's all sorts of trading going on. It's got its own in-game auction house. It's like, we're trying to gamify the shop that sells us the games now. And it just... it makes me so cross, and yet it's just such a stupid nothing. It shouldn't offend me nearly as much as it does, but I find myself just getting really wound up by it all. It's, I don't know, patronising on one level. It's like they assume that by just pulling some very basic and simple psychological levers, they can shake down more cash out of me, and I suppose it does work on quite a lot of people. It probably works on me to some extent. I'm not sure I was chasing the progress bar particularly, but certainly the stupid low prices was driving me into purchases I didn't need or wasn't looking for.
I was ignoring the progress bar because very early on it got clear that progress bar was being gamed massively.
Yeah, I still don't know what that whole team thing was, apparently.
Do you even know what team colour you were?
No.
Apparently I was pink, but I looked that up.
Where did I go to look? I couldn't see it.
Oh, it was buried deep in there. And, yeah.
I was voting on what comes up next, which was an interesting feature. There's two different genres, and you clicked on left or right, and the four games in that genre, whichever got the most vote, those four games would be the next ones on sale. And mostly I was using that to register my disgust with early access, which I'll come to later.
I will say that I was voting on those, but mainly I was voting for the ones which were so grossly categorized. So there'd be games which were being described as something that just so weren't.
Was anyone using that properly? Do let
us
know.
No, no one was.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. I've written £2.49, damn it, there. So, yes, I have this rule I set myself as a kind of experiment, to be honest. There's a lot of games in there that came up that I quite like the look of and that I probably would have bought under other circumstances, but I decided, no, I'm not paying for anything over £2.49. Mostly because I believe that you can pick an arbitrary point and stick a flag in the sand and say, and just wait. And eventually the tide will come into that flag. If you wait long enough, any game you want on Steam will be £2.49 or less. Or any other number you choose to pick.
I think £2.49 is probably a bit high.
I don't know. There was a couple I missed out on, but I'm patient. It will come around again.
Next time.
Exactly. Yeah, the winter sale, whatever. I just think that it's the only way you can sanely interact with the thing without being lured into spending ridiculous amounts of money. You have to try and set a limit or a marker, this far and no further, you know? A line in the sand, and that £2.49 happened to be mine, and I still managed to get quite a few things off of that, doing it that way as well. There was one or two I did fail, though. Yeah. For all my talk of restraint and self-esteem, I'm sure I paid £5 for one, which is outrageously expensive. And that's...
Which game was that?
It might be Anno Domini, actually. I think that came in at about £4.99 or something one day. Yeah, 2070, whatever. And so I find myself just sort of being sucked into it and it pulling at me and me trying to sort of stand against it and trying to, I don't know, in some way interact with the whole thing on my terms in some fashion. But £2.49 seems like the price games are now. I don't know. There were quite a few more.
PC especially.
Yeah, yeah. And I've just sort of gotten... I don't know if this is a case for anyone else listening or yourself there. Have you trained yourself... What do you believe a PC game should cost?
Well, I don't know what I think they should cost. But
not so much what they should. What do they cost?
I was looking at the costs for Thief.
Yeah.
Which came out
this
in January.
This would be the reboot, recent one.
So
yeah.
it came out 6 months ago. So.
Okay, 6 month old PC game.
And that was down to about a tenner. And
come
the next sale, it'll be down to a fiver or less.
How much do you... I lose track. I honestly don't... See, this is exactly the problem. I honestly don't know what a new PC game should cost.
A new PC game is £29.99 just released. For most of it.
£29.99, £30.
Yeah. Or 40.
I was thinking higher for some reason.
No,
probably because I'm looking at console
PC
prices.
PC games are cheaper than console games because you pay less for more.
Mm, but I've just sort of managed to train it into mostly directly because of the Steam sale. I just start to think, well, I'll wait for that to come down to the proper price, which happens to be £2.49 in my own warped mind. But there's just no way I'd pay 30 quid for a PC game anymore.
No,
And that's a sort of trained response that this kind of thing has done.
Actually,
to me.
Throughout this sale, I did actually get the Lego Movie game cheap because when it came out, I thought, I'm not going to pay that because it's a Lego game. It'll be very cheap very quickly.
Yeah.
And it was.
So I don't know. I don't know what this does to the industry, what this does to future investment and development. I've written there just who isn't getting the other £37.51. What happened? Yeah, whose cut is this all coming out of? Who would normally get the money if I paid 30 quid and instead pay £2.49?
You can choose what you sell it at. Steam doesn't choose the price.
Okay, how much does Steam take from all of this? Do we know? How much does it cost you to have your game on Steam, or is that a hidden figure?
30% or more, depending on what's going on, I think.
So you could be getting 40 quid, 30 quid for your game. Instead, you're getting like 3 quid,
but
1 quid.
What has been...
£1, less than a pound.
What has been determined for all these experiments is that nobody...
You're selling 30 times as much as you normally would.
You look at any of the... my numbers all come from indie game devs, because the actual real devs don't... the real publishers, I should say, don't give those numbers out. Every indie game dev who's... dropped the price has said how much higher the sales are.
They're just shifting a lot more, and this can only possibly work in digital, direct
and
digital
also,
download.
It should be pointed out that after the sale ends, the sales are still high.
Okay, so word of mouth continues. Yeah. People are still buying, and then the people who come late to it all pay a higher price for it all, I suppose, but are still reasonably happy to do so, I suppose, because all their friends are telling them glowing things about it. Yeah. So I guess it works. Obviously, it works, or they wouldn't keep doing it, but. I don't know. I just wonder. It seems like a lot of money is being lost. It seems counterintuitive. This couldn't possibly work if you were buying actual boxes with manuals and discs and things in, because sooner or later you're going to hit a minimum price that the physical artifact requires to manufacture.
Well, if you remember back in the 90s...
You buy discs,
when
you have to have boxes made,
proper,
printed.
PC games.
Yeah.
In that certain shaped box.
Yeah, yeah.
With
particular
certain,
dimensions. Yeah.
With the proper manual, which was... enough pages to need a...
it would have a spine, yeah. It wouldn't just be staples.
It would have a spine. Yeah. It wasn't just stapled.
Yeah.
And
I remember those days fondly.
Yeah.
That all costs money to put together per unit, below which it's stupid to drop your price because you're paying to give a game away to someone for money instead then.
Yeah.
So the idea that... What is a game worth then? If essentially it's digital only and it has no physical presence, we can set whatever prices we like. How much are the electrons? What are we talking? Download costs, date file storage. Are there any overheads at all to a video game now?
A game has to be worth what it costs to make
to
be successful.
Yeah,
And
which is, you know, we talked about how much does it cost to make MMOs on a previous topic show. I mean, the prices aren't wildly different for single-player games, that sort of thing. Depends on your bracketing. Indie games are relatively cheap, whereas AAA titles can have hundreds of millions of dollars spent on them.
Yeah,
and that all has to be paid back.
You look at something like GTA, Grand Theft Auto, and that is hundreds of people for years, and they don't mind.
$70 million, was it? Something like that to make? $50 million? Somewhere around there.
It's going to be more than that.
Was it one of the high-end ones?
Mm. Oh, no, it's probably the highest.
So
and
what?
It made its money back in the first week, basically, because it's a license to print money.
Mm.
And
not everyone's that lucky, though.
No. But then again, you look at some of the others which aren't quite making any money and the studios that are going constantly bankrupt. And if you're going to make any money out of the Steam sales system, you have to survive between launch and Steam sales.
Mm. So you're sort of resigning yourself to not making any money on launch, more or less, because everyone has now been trained by Steam to wait till midsummer or midwinter.
I don't know if you make any money, but you have to last long enough for large sales due to the sales to come in, because that's not on the traditional accountancy.
It's all half-year financials and so on.
Yeah, it's basically, yes, we're going to go a massive sale here where we're going to give most of the money off, but we'll make loads of money off of it. And if your studio's gone bankrupt before then...
Well, yeah, that's no consolation to anyone. That just helps the administrators or whoever buys up the IP at the end of it all. So, yeah. So I noticed that one of the big joys of the Steam sale is checking every day to see what's currently in the little box grid there. Why don't they just take 70% off everything they do? Wasn't it just a blanket 75% of everything?
Because it's opt-in.
So who decides to be part of the Steam sales? The game owner,
presumably. You get asked if you want to be part of it, and if you say yes, then you get to choose the number.
Okay. All right, you pick your sale. Okay, so there's a certain amount of choice left to the developer in it all.
Yeah, Mike Bithell, a week before the Steam sale,
who's nobody knew,
he's the guy who did Thomas's Alone.
Okay.
And is doing volume at the moment for PlayStation. He basically did a Twitter question saying, how much would you want Thomas's Alone to be on sale on
wow.
Steam?
How did that work?
If by any chance it was about to come up to be a sale.
Mm-hmm. Did everyone go 99%?
No, he actually went with a number. It was something like 70%, which is a decent number.
Yeah.
Because he tends to have saner followers than a lot of people.
Right.
And He just basically...
So did he go with that?
Yeah, he did. And he sold a hell of a lot.
Did he come back with some useful information about how it went?
Did he
say it was good or this is a disaster?
No, he did say it was good. It sold a lot of copies. And
so these
sales do work.
Does this suggest that PC gaming and, well, just computer games in general are vastly overpriced to begin with, then, if this is becoming more and more the natural state of affairs?
I don't know. There's two different aspects. One is the long tail. Which is, if your game's been out for a year and then you put it on sale and it sells a load because of this,
that is a good thing. Those are sales
that is
you
a very good thing.
Those are probably sales you wouldn't have made at full price anyway at that point, yeah.
But if you like Thief, where a couple of months after release you're out there for a third, fourth of the price.
Because once you've done it once, people are going to assume, oh, well, wait for it to go on sale again. You know, I imagine it's very difficult to then go back to selling it at full price after one of these has blown through.
It's like with the Lego game. I just knew I could buy it on consoles.
Yeah.
And that would cost me £39 probably with the reductions. So I knew I had two options to buy it. One was wait long enough for it to turn up on PS Plus.
Yeah.
PlayStation Plus, of course, giving you free games every so often. Mm-hmm. And the other one was to wait for it to come onto the Steam sale. And it did.
Yeah.
And I did not buy that game at full price because of that.
It's gotten to the point where I'm probably never going to buy another full-price PC game ever again. Because this sort of thing happens, specifically Steam, really. I don't see I don't see other avenues at getting to the games as cheaply as this anywhere else, really.
Well,
which is part of it all, I think.
It really does fit in with a 3-month rule. Because, a few months later, we will be way cheaper.
6 months in the case of the thief thing. So, yeah, I mean, the 3 months rule, yeah, that's a whole different kettle of fish, and it's largely about MMOs and software QA. But, yeah, a six-month rule consistently applied will see you paying a tenth of the price that you should be otherwise playing for computer games.
Even with console games, if you're buying them off Amazon and you're buying them a couple of months later, they are generally cheaper.
Yeah, and that doesn't even bring in second-hand sales, which is more of a console thing specifically, but... So I've written early access sales there. This was something that made me quite cross and grumpy and ranty throughout this whole Steam sale. There I was doing my consumer duty, picking through, looking at the dailies and coming out and thinking, yes, go on, hurry up. Hopefully it's Brutal Legend. I went and checked Brutal Legend on its own. It didn't come up at all, I don't think, but I went and looked and it was on sale anyway. So
yes, that's the thing. There was a large
lot going on that wasn't on that front page.
You have to find other methods for finding out what's on sale.
But the one thing I did notice that pretty much consistently throughout the entire Steam sale, I think at one point it got as high as 4 out of the 9 titles, but almost every day there was at least 2 early access finger quotes games in those 9 titles on sale. And that just blew my mind, because what we have here now is 75% off the paid alpha of a game that isn't even ready yet.
And I would like to, at this point, defend certain games. Well, games like Prison Architect are finished.
Well, they'll take the bloody early access title off it, and I'll quite happily have a look.
That's the
you can't have your cake and eat it. This is my principal objection with the whole early access system. But to see it on Steam sales... These people are never going to get their full price money.
Games like Prison Architect are at a point now where if they were released by EA, they would have been on shelves by now.
Well, perhaps that's developer release anxiety, you know, the creative type who never wants to let their thing go.
There is a certain amount of some of the early access games.
Sort of perfectionism kicking in there a bit.
It's not even that. It's them. It's the... Kerbal Space Program, those sort of games, which are, this is a long slog, we're going to do it together, it's going to be fine, and here's a game which is really well featured now, it's going to get better over time. Those are great, but...
Kerbal came up, and I think it was even below my £2.49 threshold when it did, and I thought, oh, I was quite tempted, and then I thought, no, early access, I've got to be strong on this, got to draw the line. When Kerbal Space Program is released, I'm looking forward to playing it.
Kerbal Space Program will never be released. You shouldn't have bought Kerbal then, you're an idiot.
Well, I probably am, but at least I'm a principled idiot with a firm understanding of how software QA works, thank you.
There, you say that. No,
but just so much early access crap coming through there. I mean, I'm getting 60% off the opportunity to kickstart your game. That's wonderful. Thanks.
It really does open up the question: what is early access?
What is a computer game? You know, I mean, you shouldn't have to be unraveling the basic definitions of what is a product and what is release when in the middle of a massive bargains, we must be crazy sale type thing going on, you know? I just got really tired and cross when I saw all that. And from then on, I was basically using the little voting button to pick the 4 that had the least early access titles in. That was my consistent voting rule throughout.
That was hard, some votes.
Yes. I mean, sometimes you couldn't pick either without letting something through that wasn't ready for prime time, but I worry about early access. No, not so much about the principles of it all. I worry that everyone else thinks I'm stupid and no one else cares. No one else cares that this stuff isn't ready anymore and they're just charging for any old crap in a box. You know?
I do believe that there are 2 classes of early access. There are the games which do work, which you're buying into. They are the Kerbals, they are the Prison Architects, whatever.
See, in my professional life, people pay me to test their software. That's how I earn my day-to-day living.
Those are games which I think are tested to a point where they do work. And it's purely gameplay improvements from now on.
Well, that's what patches and you know, revisions and expansion DLC are all about. You take your customer feedback and you improve your product.
I think
both
of them probably should have launched by now.
Well, yeah.
But then there's the complete dross which is out there.
And it's not just me. I was watching Twitter throughout there and lots of listeners who I also follow and respect their opinion and so on. There was a lot of people going, ooh, early access everywhere in Steam. It wasn't just me being all paranoid and perfectionist about my particular QA views. It seemed to take quite a lot of people by surprise. Because was early access even a thing 6 months ago? for the winter sale or last, certainly not last summer's sale. They hadn't really, there was one or two things and it was a bit of an experiment. But yeah, now there's just so much early access stuff on Steam.
The thing is, early access...
It's like a minefield.
Early access has become the main method of releasing stuff on Steam.
Well, yeah.
Because it's mainly down to...
In my day, developers had the conviction and the drive to just get on and do the thing and live in penury until it was ready.
You say that, but I'm not entirely sure that's what early access is for. Well. It's basically a way onto the system, and which is why early access is going away.
Yeah, I think they'll just remove the labels and we won't even know it wasn't supposed
exactly
to be.
That's exactly what they're doing.
It'll just be software and it will just be crap and no one will do QA anymore and we'll just grin and we'll just take it because we've got no willpower or principles.
Yeah.
And we're so desperate to be early onto a thing and to be the cool kid who's first to play with the toys, you know? I don't know. Maybe it's me. I've got lots more else to rant about. Shall I carry on?
Yeah, keep going.
Good. Well done if you're still with us, dear listener. I've written piles of shame and gluttony there. So the pile of shame, the big list of Steam games that we picked up for £2.49 in a huge splurge and haven't had time to go back and actually play.
Yeah.
Nothing makes me more cross than people who buy things and then never use them. I'm not looking at anyone in particular. There's a lot of shrink wrap on a lot of things in this room still, which makes my OCD flare.
I might shrink wrap stuff after it.
is that what you put it all back in the box and then re-shrink wrap and laminate it again?
Yeah, I have an entire career on eBay.
Fair enough. But there's a lot of games that people will have bought. I know. Yes, you, dear listener, I'm pointing at you. You've bought way too much stuff in a Steam sale, and there's a load of stuff in there you haven't even launched yet. I've done this myself. I have a pile of shame now, and that terrifies me, because I had a frugal upbringing where I didn't have many toys or much pocket money, and so generally a modest Lego set would have to last me from Christmas till birthday, and just the idea, the sheer wastage of buying loads and loads of games and then just not really getting around to bothering playing them, just having them sat there, when that Steam does its first launch installing DirectX thing. How many titles have you got? You got yours on the screen.
291.
So you got 291 in total. How many have you played?
91. One.
yeah. Perhaps you're the wrong. You're probably at the opposite end of the extreme scale that I'm on. But
no, I haven't played a lot. It's stuff like
it's time, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've got loads of money. We don't have time.
Yeah. It's like when all the original XCOM games came up.
Mm.
I thought I should buy them. I really liked them.
These are important games that I should probably play and
without
like lots.
Without remembering, one, I didn't bother playing them back in the day because I didn't like them.
Well, yeah, you just thought they become scalps. The idea of Steam itself being a game, and it's all fed into with the progress bars and the little badges and all the rest of it. But at the end of the day, we're left with a whole load of computer games that impoverished people in difficult parts of the world would give their eye teeth for, or something. I don't know. It's probably not quite the same scale as wasted food. But
when did I buy Final Fantasy XIV?
I suppose, I don't know. Are you subscribed to it, though? That's the question. Yeah. Do you know?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it wastage because these things have no physical reality? There's no scarcity. They're not going to run out of copies of a game we've bought. We're not hogging a copy that could be being used by someone with more time on their hands. These things are exact digital mirror replications of each other with no cost or anything. So does that make it wastage if a thing has... infinite supply of a thing?
It's not really wastage.
Is this a post-scarcity economy? Is this a utopia where we can all have as many games as we like and it doesn't matter if we don't play any of them?
Well,
who does it hurt by not playing a game we've bought? I don't suppose any victim there.
No,
really,
the only people it hurts is the people who think that maybe more games should have been bought.
It hurts me, dear listener. I get hurt by this.
Do you?
Yes, inside. You can't see, but it's choking me up. I don't know. It just seems inefficient and it seems wasteful, but we all do it. I've got a couple of things from Steam sale I've not really bothered looking at. I think Mirror's Edge. But I know I will play that. I just have to, it comes in with the I've got a load of games I'm currently playing already. And this whole sort of almost enforced, artificially created sense of panic and desperation that a cheap thing is going away soon, you know, basic marketing techniques have goaded me into stocking up with enough games to last me, who's, you know, generally quite thorough and frugal with my game playing. I could probably go till Christmas without buying anything else again now. When you add to it all the never-ending MMOs I also play, I could probably, I probably don't need to buy any more games now until their next Steam sale, which perhaps is the whole plan.
Well,
I don't know.
steam sales coming in a couple of months.
So. Well, yeah, but the winter thing. And it'll be the same sort of near hysterical, frantic purchasing and stuff going on there, and I'll stock up with another 8 months of games. Maybe this is the way it works now. Maybe I'm just not keeping up with the times.
Do you find it weird when people have got to level 5 or 6 on the current Steam sale badge? Because that involves either...
I don't know what...
Selling.
I wasn't really paying attention to the rate of dishing out of progress bars.
It was once per 3 votes or once per...
But the 3 votes thing only kicked in if your Steam level was 8 or above anyway. I think that was to stop noobs
everyone
farming.
Everyone is above that, apart from you,
apart from me, yeah, I'm 6. I see that as a badge of pride. I think that's a resistance to the machine and the man, you know.
But you also got
a measurement of my independence and self-will.
A card for every $10 you spent.
Okay. So, yeah, literally cash shop.
It is purely, oh, my God, if this wasn't Valve doing it, why aren't we complaining?
There's some really heinous and quite sinister marketing going on here, and no one seems to... I don't know, perhaps people I don't know or listen to complain about it.
I don't know why no one cares.
I think no one cares because the physical amounts of money are so small. If this were happening in the hundreds of pounds range, if you got a Steam card for every £400 you spent, then I think we'd start to see some sort of umbrage.
I think even at this level, if Sony or Microsoft or Ubisoft or EA were doing this on any of their stores, then there would be such
Steam
a
seem
fuss.
To have this weird get-out-of-jail-free card when it comes to community reputation. It's like they're not evil, but everyone else who tries anything remotely similar with their own platform is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all bad EA, blah, blah, blah.
Steam
bad Ubisoft.
Steam are doing way more evil than a lot of the others, as far as I can tell.
Well, it's an always-on DRM system. I mean, yes, there's an offline mode, but basically you have to ask Steam in writing before you're allowed to play any of the games you've bought in their shop, which essentially is what's happening behind the scenes over the network. And that doesn't seem to worry anyone. I don't know. I remember way, way back before I was even Van Hemlock, I had a bit of a dab with blogging. And one of the posts I remember writing was me kicking up a massive alarmist shrieking about Steam. Because it was new then. That was back when Half-Life 2 came out and Steam was invented purely as a DRM system for Half-Life 2. I was going, oh, this is terrible. What if Steam disappears tomorrow? And I still worry about that sometimes.
Well, it should be said that my first Steam account was shut down by Steam for dodgy trading. They never told me how, why, or whatever, and I never got that account back.
And had that game... Well, I guess that account didn't have that many games on it back then. But...
No, it had some on, though, and I never got them back.
Yeah, yeah, so that's basically money gone.
It just basically stolen off me.
Yes, yes. Functionally, they've just... It's like you buy something from a shop, and then 3 months later, the owner of the shop breaks into your house, takes the items back, and disappears.
And that can happen to anyone on Steam still.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine if we were remotely listened to, I imagine people from Valve would be shutting down our accounts now for speaking dissent.
They probably are. That might just
I wouldn't say it gives me sleepless nights, but I do sometimes worry what happens if Steam just isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
What happens? I lose about 40 games with a total retail value of a couple of hundred quid, probably.
I lose 300 games.
You got significantly more to lose, and I'm sure all listeners who've got Steam and have got games on it have a similar story to be able to tell. I don't know. I mean, you assume that it's going to be there forever. It's terribly popular, so
it's not going to be there forever.
They're not going to shut down.
It is going to shut down at some point.
But at some point, yeah, because, I mean, sort of tangenting a little bit away from Steam, I bought Sins of a Solar Empire and Galactic Civilizations 2, both from Stardock Games. Now, at the time, Stardock were all partnered up with, I think, GameStop, and they had their own sort of little Steam-alike system or something, Impulse they called it, or whatever. Initially Stardock ran their own little thing, their own little always-on DRM thing. And then, for some reason or another, in sort of the intervening years between when I bought those games and when I next wanted to play them, that their system had vanished and been bought by GameStop and merged into this Impulse thing, which is their own little Steam-alike. I don't know if that's still going, even. And I'd lost access to these games, and I kicked off a whole bunch of angry emails, and eventually they reinstated it, gave me some codes. But it took manual intervention. And at some point, I don't know, Steam might not be there. I kind of think that if Steam has vanished, then we're probably in the throes of some massive alien invasion or massive infrastructure EMP event or something. We've probably got bigger problems if Steam isn't there anymore. But
you might have said that about if Games for Windows Live isn't there.
Yeah,
or
I thought
any
that
of the other.
I thought Games for Windows Live would be there forever, and they've basically patched it out, sort of.
That was a weird case because everyone thought they were getting rid of it, but then they didn't.
Yeah, yeah. And, so but the point is that back in my day, you'd go to a shop, you'd buy an artifact, you'd have a disc, you'd put it in, you'd play your game. Now, because I don't know what reason, a variety of reasons, many of them quite hostile to gamers and their enjoyment, we now have to ask permission from some remote server before our games will work, and yep. we just take it on faith that those systems will be there and be cooperative for forever.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking forward to the day Steam dies, because I'm going to lose a lot of games.
Well,
games and I do go back to very old games and play them regularly.
So do I.
Abandonware's a whole different subject, but I just don't like the idea that my games are not a permanent thing, because, you know, I look at computer games the same way I look at books on my shelf, and this is why I haven't got a bloody Kindle either, is because I want immediate and total and sole control over the things I have purchased. And the way it works these days is you very rarely get that anymore, and this stuff is fallible. It relies on an internet I may or may not have.
One of the games I was playing this week was Midwinter.
Okay, quite an old title.
Yeah, good luck playing that legally now. I feel justified because I did buy it in the day, so
I
own a copy of it.
You could argue that you never owned it. All you were ever given was a license to use it now and then, which probably had some small print about it being revoked in there as well.
Probably, but I have the discs still, so
yeah,
screw you.
They can take Midwinter from our cold, dead hands.
There's a remake coming. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. We have more DLC and stuff.
It'll probably have a vehicle level. Anyway, what have I written there? You've written something there. What's your gripe on that point there? You've written, why should I buy anything for the rest of the year?
Yes. Mm. Yes, that's a very good point, because
it's almost Pavlovian, isn't it, at this stage?
It is.
Valve rings the little bell and we go and buy some computer games. And then we don't do it until they ring the bell again.
I really don't think it's healthy. I can't honestly say I think PC gaming is in a good position.
Are we at the stage where... Well, yeah, I've written that further down. But the idea... It's getting to that point. I guess people do what... I mean, it depends if you're that into brand new games and so on, and whether you're keeping up with the fashion and that sort of thing. Obviously, games that have only just come out are rarely in the Steam sales, so you pay a bit extra to get straight in there. But if you've already got a massive backlog of stuff you've never played anyway, why do you need to jump on the brand new shiny?
I look at the weekly releases for the consoles.
Mm.
And all I can think of is, that's a mugs game, why should I compete with it? And that is not a healthy thing for any consumer to be thinking about for any gaming platform.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I've written, are there any alternatives left there? Yes, okay, here I am, bitching and whining and making a big old fuss about what's generally become the sole acceptable way to get PC games onto your system nowadays. And I'm just trying to work out, if I don't like it, I have to shut up and go away and do something else. But I'm really starting to wonder, are there anything else is left? Well, how do you buy PC games before Steam came along?
I have done this.
Oh, okay.
I've done this recently. There was the last Need for Speed game.
Okay.
For which I was going to buy on... actually, ended up having to be Origin because it's EA and EA are bastards.
Hmm.
But I looked at the price of it.
Okay.
And I thought, this is a rather large price for a PC game.
Okay.
So I went onto Amazon.
Yeah.
And I've discovered you could buy the disc version.
Oh, wow.
For way less.
What, with that weird plastic shiny thing that
the
ancients used?
You don't even need to insert the disc, you just insert the code. And you download it and it's fine.
So the disc is literally useless. There's probably nothing on there. It's probably just a shortcut link or something.
It's probably never going to give you up or something. Just on repeat.
Rickrolling yourself, yeah.
But yeah, I bought this disc and it was cheaper and I got the code and now I have the game. And the game wasn't that great, but I paid literally about 20 quid less a couple of weeks after release because I got it on disc.
See, that's the mad thing. I always thought that when DLC and fully digital games came along, we'd only be paying 2 quid anyway for them because it's just data, it's just information, it's just a particular pattern of magnets on a hard disc. You're not buying a box, there's no manual, nothing like that, no extra costs. So surely the savings will be passed on to us, the consumer. And the first time that naive opinion was dashed forever was when I first went to get a Guild Wars 1 expansion from their own login launcher, and they were exactly the same price as the RRP in the shops. Only you don't get the traditional glossy little art book that comes with a physical copy of Guild Wars. And then I found that same Guild Wars expansion in my local high street computer game shop. You remember those?
Yeah, they used to exist.
I found it there for about £6 cheaper anyway. So the idea that deals, you know, digital download is a cheaper future and better for consumers anyway is bollocks, because you're paying as much and you've got no backups if the internet vanishes.
All the digital download stuff is
it's better for
removing
them.
The cut from the shop.
Yeah. They're muscling out bricks and mortar shops because somehow they see the distribution network of their own industry as the enemy or something. And just leaving us in a position where if their server vanishes, we can't reinstall our games anyway anymore. I miss discs. So shiny. You could like hang them from string and put them in the gardens and they'd scare crows off and things. It's quite useful. Inherent utility you don't get with digital downloads.
It's better if you use hard disk from that.
Okay. Oh, right. Yeah. A bit more durable in the weather. Yeah.
Also, they're shiny on both sides.
Ah, right. Okay. So I've written, has Steam won? A rhetorical question. I have a high street story. I went to my local game shop, the game G-A-M, G-A-M-E, you know. There's always a stupid name for a shop, I always thought. Yeah. What was wrong with Electronics Boutique? That had a certain mystery to it, but no. Anyway.
Well, you know, it just sounded like a weird porn shop.
Specialist retailer, yeah. Well, it was in a way.
True, yeah.
Just a different kind of porn. Yeah, and I went in the shop and I looked around for the PC, the ever-shrinking PC thing, and it actually gone. Because I'd always seen it, you know, month after month going in there, seeing the amount of wall space that had PC at the top getting smaller and smaller. And I think probably the last time I had a good serious look was before the advent of the Xbox One and the PS4. So two whole new consoles that need some shelf space. Poor old PC not going to get a look in. They're actually gone now. They had a big rack, there's a moderate rack along the middle of 3 for 10s. You know, the mystery of Raven Manor and all this sort of point-and-click hidden object stuff.
The ones that actually make the money.
Yeah, and Tokyo Rush Hour Train Simulator 2013, that kind of thing. The other ones that make the money. And almost nothing. Almost nothing of what we do. But they did have an entire middle of the shop rack of Steam credit cards, which I thought was fantastically anachronistic.
Well,
wow, bless, you've given up as well, haven't you?
It could be worse. I did actually go to a town yesterday because I had to go get a haircut and various things, and the game shop had gone completely.
Wow, yeah. It's just like moved entire. It's like the whole genre, the whole hobby has just transcended into energy overnight while we weren't looking.
Well,
and now it all exists just as mind patterns on the global net.
Also in Tesco's, Sainsbury's and various other.
Well, yes. So I've written Amazon there and you found some stuff on there. I suppose that's the way to go. Presumably you can still get... Do Amazon do digital downloads or are they exclusively selling CDs?
No, they sell codes for all of the major platforms.
Right. So I suppose there is an alternative, but I wonder if Amazon's a particularly much healthier thing.
I don't think that Amazon can be described as healthy for anyone.
At least they're a bit less partisan about it. They just sell everything as cheaply as they can to drive anyone else out of business. I've written Tesco there, and that's a terrifying thought, that your local supermarket is actually the best place to go to find PC games now. They had a full rack of PC stuff. They had a little mini chart there, mostly made up, I think.
The Sims and Diablo.
There was
it?
Quite a lot of Sims and Diablo, yeah. There was
a bit of Warcraft.
Bit of Warcraft expansions, yeah. But there were a few things in there that I thought, yeah, that's actually a good game that I would pay money for. But of course, I'm just waiting for it to come out on Steam, so yeah. I suppose I'm part of the problem as well. I just wonder if while we weren't looking, or while we were looking and just staring oblivious, Steam has managed to become the console of the PC.
Oh, it has. And if you look at what they're trying to do...
We did a topic show a while back on Steam Box and the hardware side of it.
What they're trying to do with the Steam Box is basically just ram home that advantage.
Yeah.
And
you need us to play games on your PC, is basically the message.
Yeah. There is no other way of looking at Steam other than we now control this.
We own the PC.
I mean, just look at, say, the attitude towards Ubisoft or EA or Microsoft or anyone else with a store.
Mm.
It's purely, yes, they're rubbish. Steam's the way to go. Steam's just as
rubbish. And says who? This is the thing. I've started to wonder about all this. I've written there, everyone needs a Steam-alike now. I mean, I as a tangent, I had a bit of a grump on during the week when I tried to play Rift. I'm playing Rift, Tryon Worlds, Fantasy World of Warcraft alike there. Quite a competent WoW clone that I quite enjoy. Quite pleasant sort of thing. I'm playing it quite a lot. And I went to fire it up and it's suddenly installing new patcher. And next thing I know, I'm looking at something they call Glyph, which is like got the big rectangular dark window with the white sidebar and library on the top and store on the side. The library consists of Rift and Defiance. And that's it. The store's got a whole bunch of games I didn't think Tryon did. And so I posted an admittedly quite rude and grumpy tweet about it, basically rhetorically asking Tryon what the hell's going on in somewhat stronger language than that. And my bluff was totally called because Scott Hartsman actually replied. I don't know if he's their director or their community manager or something like that, but basically chap on the inside of Tryon who knows what's going on, and he exercised a lot more grace than I did, and basically explained that, yes, this is so that they can maintain one patcher instead of several for each of their games, and also so that they can provide sales opportunities for their partners and so on, which yeah. I presumably is what all the other games in there. There's Archage, which I think is a beta or something. Is it out? Yeah, I don't know. Some Far Eastern MMO, which I think's been converted across here by Tryon. There was like the Banner Saga and Wasteland, and I think Wasteland 2 Early Access sort of thing. And a lot of these titles I'd already seen on Steam, which was basically my sort of sarcastic point in my tweet. Was the why do I need a different storefront launcher for every company that sells games? And now I'm really confused because I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing. I've written everyone needs a Steam like now, and I've listed underneath we've got Uplay.
Yeah.
Ubisoft have got their own thing that you have to install, you know, their own malware you have to install to get to play their games. I bought Anno 2070 in the Steam sale, and I thought, oh, that's all right, I got it off Steam. So obviously Steam is all the only DRM that it will need, and I've already got that. Installs Uplay.
I would like to, at this point, speak up for everyone who bought Watch Dogs.
Yeah?
And
did they all get quite cross?
Uplay went down instantly because of the weight of
I'd heard nothing but horror stories about Uplay, and I just I was torn between pressing cancel because I really wanted to play Anno 2070. I saw you playing it. I thought it looked like
it's quite a good game.
I like it, but I can't get in there without not only having Steam up and running, but now Uplay as well, and all these little system tray gizmos go in there and they consume how much CPU and how much RAM. If they've been written with any kind of competency, they're not too intrusive. But I remember hearing all sorts of horror stories about the ARC one that Perfect World do for Star Trek Online and Neverwinter. They have their own one of these as well. And apparently I've seen tweets where it sits there with 50% CPU churning away. Not the games it's launching, it. And you're just thinking, God, why do I want all this extra fluff and all this crap? And it's just, I've written Glyph there, which is Tryon Worlds one. This is for So Rift and Defiance need that to get in there. Rift requires it. I think you can still use Defiance in the old-fashioned way, but I can't imagine that's going to be a thing for long. GameStop have their thing, Impulse. I don't know if that's still a thing or whether that's folded and disappeared now, taking my copy of Sins of a Solar Empire and Galactic Civilizations 2 with it or not. I don't know. Good old games, you know, generally we've got good things to say about them. They're fighting the good fight for abandonware and keeping it legal and making old stuff available, but they got their own thing as well, their own storefront and all the rest of it. I've written GFWL there, Games for Windows Live. Is that still a thing?
It is, yes. It didn't get killed like everyone sort of expected.
My only experiences with that were how it totally ruined my gameplay in Fallout 3. I'm there roaming the capital wastelands doing my thing, and then suddenly every so often it would do a system notification saying one of my friends has logged in, which would then make the graphics in Fallout 3 drop dramatically texture-wise, down to about 32 by 32 pixel textures, and totally lock the game up for about a second and a half while it did its little blades drop down.
The only problem I've ever had with Games for Windows Live, seriously, was this weekend.
Yeah?
Because I was watching the Formula One on my 360 through the Sky app.
Yeah.
And I thought, I got a copy of Dirt 3 in the Steam sale. I shall play that now because I'm watching Formula One and I want to do some racing, which is slightly different. So I'll do some rally racing.
Yeah.
And I logged into Dirt 3, and apparently it came for Windows, so it logged in and logged me off on the TV.
See, I wouldn't mind if these things were integrated smoothly, written well, and designed in from the word go, but usually they're just bolted on the top, tacked on the side of whatever game isn't expecting to have this running as well.
And there's never any thought to how this is going to be used.
There's never any benefit to the gamer. That's the thing. Yeah. Oh, great! I can see what my friends are doing. I can phone them up. I got other way. I can look on Twitter. Whatever. I'm in the middle of playing this game. How is this bloatware you've tacked on the side going to benefit me in any way?
Game Twitter's Live had a certain amount of advantages, which was it used your Xbox account, which was a good thing.
What does that mean? That just means that your achievements all get saved in the same place.
Your achievements, friends, list, and all of that still worked. Yeah. That was a good thing. It was meant to bring your PC into the Xbox level of
I'm not that naive. I do understand that these systems are largely in place for the benefit of the publisher.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to... You could get a lot of buy-in from gamers by providing them with some good things they want.
Yeah, but every single one of them is basically an upselling device for crap.
Yes, yeah. I've written every goddamn console here. I mean, you know, people who've got Xboxes and PlayStations and... I don't know about the Wii.
Yeah, the Wii.
The Wii has a shop interface as the first thing when you turn it on. Yeah. I've written under there, why should I pay £400 to have a shop installed under my television? Typically, when that happens in real life, the building owner gets money from the retailer for being in the building. I can't work out who I need to invoice for the Xbox under my telly. Someone at Microsoft, I suppose. I charge £5 a week rent to have the box there, so there's a lot of back rent owed. I'm quite hopeful for my application for expenses and the invoice, though.
You always were an optimist.
Yeah, but it's ridiculous. And you compare that to any other situation. Typically, the social contract I was always experienced when I was growing up was basically BBC versus ITV. There's your BBC, where you pay your TV licence, you get your telly for free, there are no adverts. Or you can watch, you got to have that because that's what you need to have a TV licence to own a television. So the BBC wasn't really optional. You just had a telly or you didn't, and you got the BBC for free with it. But the ITV side of things, you didn't have to pay a TV licence for ITV as well, because they made you watch adverts. And I don't like adverts. They make me quite cross and stop me watching television in general, to be honest, but I'm grumpy old man. But the general idea was that here is, you know, you're being inconvenienced by being shown adverts, but we're giving you your television programs for free. And that's how I always thought things were supposed to go when they grow up. But now you have satellite subscriptions where they still show you adverts, and you still have to pay a monthly fee for the privilege, and that makes me cross and also not watch TV either.
Well, to be fair, the adverts on satellite TV are generally slightly less bad than on the BBC at the moment.
What about the adverts on the Xbox 360? I turned it on to play a game the other day. I got Lightning Returns, which I'll probably talk about in another show, but I wanted to play some of that, and I turned it on and they update the bloody UI and all the rest of it, and it's actually got about an eighth of the front, the very first thing you see, the root menu, an eighth of that space is taken up with a little TV advert window. I mean, yeah, you pull the network plug out and probably it can't get to the adverts anymore, but it's a very irritating experience. And you're just thinking, Christ, why am I being assaulted by this here? Have I not paid you people enough?
Yeah.
It just seems wrong. It seems completely unbalanced in favour against the consumer.
I just started my Xbox.
You're just firing up your 360 now as an example.
Yeah, because I happen to be on I only ever use the 360 now to watch Sky for the Formula One. Yeah. That is it. And, yeah, it is purely adverts on most stuff. Do you remember a little while back?
So you got to sign in first. Yep. Okay, do that, yeah.
Oh, that's the wrong one. Do you remember a little while back when we were talking about... when we're looking at my PS4 and the adverts through the history.
Yeah.
Or you looked at what everyone's been playing and there are adverts put in there.
Oh, God.
And those have now gone because Sony have quietly gotten rid of them.
Yeah, but only because a lot of people cooked up a massive fuss, I imagine.
Yeah, because they were really, really bad. It was basically, Friend X has played this by Virgin Trains as a company in its hole or whatever.
Yeah, and it's just everywhere. And I think what prompted that rather abusive tweet at Tryon was basically the fact that I'm just sick of so many of these things and having to wade through all of it each time I want to play any other game. I just want to play a computer game. I don't want to have like the hard sell. It's all about upsell. That's the thing. We're in the age of upsell. I don't know if it's because, look, there we go. There's a little tiny window. Yep. It's too small to actually see what the product is, which is a bit of a failure.
It must be better.
Can you full screen it? I hope so.
Oh, of course, yes. It must be better on your ancient TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, wow, look, it comes with the ability to make the advert go full screen so you can watch it properly. What, and this just loops forever, does it?
I don't know.
What a wretched experience.
What are they selling? Yeah.
I think it's some sort of cider, whatever.
Oh, it's bullshit. Yeah, you want to drink that.
I just get sick of
they
it.
They got Monte Carlo bombs.
I'm just wondering if the have we exhausted the market of new customers such to the point where we can only really make money by selling more crap to the people who gave us money before? Is it all about the upsell? It seems to be.
Oh, it has to be. The entire games industry is about the upsell now. It's about the DLC. It's about the season pass. It's about the next version.
Yeah. I expect there are lots of positive benefits to this glyph thing for try-on, but I can't help noticing that the whole system would obviously work without a store tab. If it was really doing what it was supposed to be doing.
Every single thing on this planet would work better if it didn't have Ubisoft store.
Yeah.
Because when that goes down, all of your games go down.
But then, see, this okay, so there's my big rant about why all that's bad and I'm sick of it and I can't be putting up with it anymore and I'm fed up with people trying to sell me stuff all the time. But, on the other hand, everyone needs a Steam like now I've written there because otherwise it's just going to be Steam. And yeah. Is that healthy?
No, Steam...
Do we want lots and lots of different Steam-type stores, each with a nice, healthy market share so that competition can happen?
By no stretch of the imagination is Steam a healthy thing.
It seems rather dominant. It seems like it's winning the big monopoly
game. It's far too
game.
Dominant, and they are doing some weird stuff which is really scary.
When
like
you're
the
that,
badges and
when you're that in control of the majority of the market, there's no regulation. Assuming we don't that we think socialists and communists are dirty, filthy McCarthy witch hunt trial, blah blah blah. Assuming we've opted for capitalism as our way forward, capitalism works when there are in the most healthy fashion when there are lots of largely comparable. Organisations competing.
I think your idea of capitalism doesn't really match with the reality of capitalism.
Should I stop talking politics again? I'm out of my depth.
But yes,
I think the world would be a healthier place if Steam didn't have the entire purse strings to the entire PC gaming customer base.
Steam is really, really dodgy. Steam gave us early access because they decided early access is what we wanted.
They
gave us the badges because they decided that's what we wanted.
They decided early access was a thing because they saw Kickstarter doing reasonably well and being a thing, and so they decided, right, we want our own one of these and we're going to stomp over everything else.
Everything we hate about various aspects of Steam because Steam decided that they wanted us to have them.
So I can't decide if Ark and Glyph and Uplay and Origin and all these other things are just annoying little wretched bits of follow the leader copyware that are just getting in my way, or whether they're plucky little resistance heroes trying to fight the global domination of an unhealthily dominated market by Steam. I just don't know anymore if that's good or bad.
I think it's both and neither.
And you know what? It doesn't matter. No one cares what I think. Because we live in a free-to-play age where I've only paid £2.49 for games you actually have to pay money for anyway. They don't give a squat what someone like me thinks because I'm not a significant market contributor. I'm not probably the right kind of A1, B-type consumer, whatever. I just sit here ranting away and lamenting about the past. So I feel like I'm increasingly feeling like it's all just passed me by and I don't matter in the scheme of it all anyway.
Well, that is a common feeling.
Is that just what living in the modern world is?
Well, no, I think living in the modern gaming age is where that comes from.
Because you have early access and Kickstarter and stuff where people will demonstrably give $42 million, is it, Star Citizen's on now?
Oh, it's 44, they'll, I think now.
That's not even escrow or IOUs. That's actual cash in bank for a game that isn't even out yet and probably won't be out for another, three, six, nine months?
Yeah, there'll be a proper release.
Here we go. What does released mean?
Yeah,
I know.
It's never going to be fully released.
But we have a gaming consumer base who are happy to give money to be given to pay for the privilege of doing alpha testing on games that they're just so unself-controlled they don't care if they're good or bad.
Could at this point, remove myself from this conversation from having done that?
You are part of the problem.
I am part of the problem.
I just think that in a lot of cases, all the bad things that are happening are probably bad things that we deserve because we don't make a stand or say anything about this stuff. We just go along with it. Either people like me who just opt out of the whole argument altogether and just potter around with like 6-year-old games and don't really engage with modern gaming, or people who are so make themselves physically sick with anticipation about their own ideas of what a game is going to be that they'll put down vast amounts of money without knowing any facts.
The people who are so obsessed with what a game's going to be that they have to fight people over what it's going to be about on forums, and then when it's not what they wanted to be about,
it's the forum tribalism thing.
It becomes this insult against themselves.
And then you got, well, where is games journalism in all of this? Is a preview even a thing anymore when most people will pay 40 or 50 quid to go and look at the alpha stuff without even bothering to look at a magazine?
Games journalism's this minor outlier thing which is ignored by everybody.
Just gone.
No one cares about it.
I've written,
in the real world, no one cares about games journalism.
I've written nostalgia there. Is this just me? Am I old? Do I harken back to a better time that never really existed?
I don't know.
I've written simpler time there. It was simpler. You went into Boots, of all places. Boots the Chemists, to go and buy your Spectrum cassette tapes for $2.99.
That used to be great.
$8.99 was full price for a Spectrum computer game back 25 years ago.
There were some $14.99 games up there.
Okay.
But no, I remember back in the day where you get out of school, you go to Boots, or, you know...
Dixon's used to have some. Yeah, Boots had a better selection. Woolworths W.H. Smith's had a game section.
And all games were so much more mainstream back then.
In a way, yeah.
Because every
it hadn't vanished into this virtualized neo headspace thing where it all just exists as internet memes and the money isn't a real thing. It's all done from PayPal. You don't actually get anything physical back. It's all just numbers on a computer somewhere. I can see the numbers. I can see the matrix. I think I'm going to get ejected from my pod any minute now.
Well, the way I see it is back in the late 80s, early 90s, games were a lot more mainstream than they are now. Now, games are a lot more mainstream than gamers think they are.
It seems counterintuitive. What do you mean?
It's all phone games and other stuff.
What is a game has changed, yes.
Yes, and I worked out the other night that out of all of the women I know, I don't know a single woman who doesn't play a game.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to say, but... Okay, no, I don't. My two grandmothers don't, but everyone else does.
Well, that, from that sort of generation, you'd expect not much engagement, no.
And I considered, percentage-wise, the number of men I know who play games, and there are a lot of men I know who don't play games.
So there are more women gamers in your life than men gamers?
Percentage-wise, yes.
Yeah.
Which, well, that's brilliant, because, okay, it may be stuff like Tamagotchi Life or whatever, but...
Sims 3. Extreme Party
and
Edition.
An awful lot of Sims, and but
one of the many IKEA expansions. Mm.
You saw the retweeted reviews.
That was great.
How did you not get fired over those back then? But I think the fact you didn't get fired...
It's because no one's reading it anymore.
Yeah.
That's why.
But gaming is way more mainstream now than it ever was. This is the heyday of games. You can go out and people will be playing... Farmville
and
or whatever the latest is.
And yet I can't remember a time in my life, and I've been playing games since 14 or whatever, that I've felt more marginalised about the whole thing than I do today.
Well, no, that's because
I feel like it's not really much to do with me anymore. I'm in a little cul-de-sac.
We're part of that chunk of gaming, which is the vocal chunk, which don't matter.
Mm.
It moved on. It left us behind.
That's the worst of it, is knowing that all this, last hour of pissing and whining is just... nothing. It's not going to make any difference, and no one cares what I think. I hope you care what I think, dear listener. That'd be nice.
Well,
I've just written so tired there.
Yeah,
that's the last thing.
Unfortunately, anyone listening to this is
actually that whiteboard does kind of read like a suicide note, doesn't it?
It does.
Now I look at it in all. Well, okay, so good. Moving on. So, what are your thoughts then? So, did you enjoy the Steam sale?
I bought some games. I played. None of them.
I bought some games. I'm playing some of them, and some of them are quite good. They are, in my defence, games I had previously said I am going to wait for that to come up in the Steam. So I didn't impulse buy anything. It was all stuff I was waiting for. So that's
something. In my defence, I paid 39p for a game which was full price on consoles a couple of years ago.
But you had no interest in that game at all.
No, I was vaguely interested in the game because at the time all of the video... TV shows, which still existed back then, because that was back when games weren't mainstream and TV shows existed.
You don't even get that anymore. It's all box set binges off Netflix.
I got it because of that, and it's going to be rubbish, but it was 39p. There's nothing wrong with it.
There's everything wrong with that statement. You don't know what, you don't care what it is. It's just that it's 39p now and was a lot more than that in the past. I am a winner. I have saved, no, you haven't saved anything. You've spent 39p. You are 39p off pure, worse off.
I've lost 39p down the back of the sofa more often than I know.
That's how it all... This is why it all is not attracting attention, not raising eyebrows, is because it's all going on at such minimal amounts of money that no one's really noticing. It is the death of a thousand cuts, and no one notices, and I don't care anymore. What did you learn this week?
I learned that the show just got rebooted.
This week I learned that I really tend to overanalyze things and should probably get out and find some new and different hobbies, which is what we're going to do.
Yes.
Yes. Good segue there. Look at that.
Yeah. That was a very good segue.
So in the weeks coming up, we're going to change it up a bit because clearly PC gaming is driving me to the point of writing lengthy suicide notes that I'm reading out to unwilling listeners. So we're going to try and do a bit more topic-y stuff and a bit more things and games.
And a lot less talking about rubbish games.
Books and films and all that sort of stuff. Do comment and tweet at us if there's anything particularly you'd like to have a crack at.
If you can find...
Interesting hobbies.
If you can find the latest version of what was the GOAT film, then Tim would love that.
Awesome films you think we should see, books, all that sort of stuff. Everything, games. We want to mix it all up a bit and, frankly, take a bit of a break from what seems to be becoming quite a self-destructive hobby. Do you spiel?
Seems pointless at this point, doesn't it?
Nothing matters anymore.
You can go along to iTunes and say whatever the hell you like. Don't care at this point. You can go along to Psycon.net and watch Moving On, but who cares? It's only Metropolis this week. Nobody's heard of that film. You can listen to me on The Brainstorm on Thursday. But who cares? That's mainly just us complaining about the NSA and going on too much about Marvel. You can listen to us next week, but who knows what we're going to talk about then?
Oh, it could be anything, and it needs to be something else.
I should be a salesman.
Excellent. On that cheery note, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.